Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Pei Dalet, and we are at the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Pei Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesunim Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Refua Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So we're moving along in Perek Hamoicher Sasfina, which was really a continuation of Perek Hamoicher Sabayis, which discusses somebody who is selling something, but he wasn't clear what should be included in the sale and what should be excluded in the sale. We've gone through several different items that were popularly sold b'mei Chazal. Today's daf is going to continue on that point. Sof de Mishnah. Hamoicher roish behema gasa. If somebody sells the head of a behema gasa, loy mochar saraglayim, the feet of the behema gasa, even if it's the same animal, are not included. Mochar saraglayim. If somebody sells the feet, the legs of the behema gasa, loy mochar saroish, the head is not included. Mochar sakana. If somebody sells the kana, so ordinarily the kana of the animal is the trachea of kana and veshet vein. The Rashbam says that kana over here means the rea. It means the lungs. Regardless, if somebody sells the lungs of an animal, the liver are not included. If somebody sells the liver of an animal, the lungs are not included. This is all true if somebody's selling parts of a behema gas. Adako, what would be, however, if somebody's selling not the body parts of the behema gasa, brother of the behema dakos, and Allah is machas harosh, if he sells the head, machas haraglayim, the feet are included. Machas haraglayim, if he sells the feet, like machas harosh, the head is not included. So the raglayim are tuffle to the rosh, but the rosh is not tuffle to the raglayim. Machar sakana, if he sells the lungs, machar sakovid, the liver is included. Machar sakovid, if he sells the liver, loy machar sakana, the lungs will not be included. Then the Mishnah gets involved in some lamdas. Arba midos b'moicher. There are four different categories when it comes to moicher. So you have a buyer and a seller, and they're about to engage in a transaction of chitin. If the understanding was that the chitin were going to be yafois, good chitin, v'nimtzu rois, and they turned out to be poor quality chitin. So the Mishnah says, "Halekeach yochel lachzavoy." If the lekeach wants, he can retract. He can back out of the transaction. And the reason is because, from the lekeach's perspective, he ended up getting less than he thought he was going to get. There's a mekach tois, and therefore, if he wants to back out, he would be able to back out. Meaning, he thought he was buying yafois. It turns out he's buying rois. Okay, so if he wants to be chayzer, he could be chayzer. Rois for him to yafois. What happens if there was an agreement, there was an understanding that there were chitin that were going to be traded and they were going to be rois? And then it turned out these were really good chitin. Meicher yochel lachzavoy. Then the meicher has a right to back out because the meicher thought that the price that he agreed upon and the transaction that he had signed off on was for rois. It turns out it's yafois. From his perspective, there's an element of mekach tois. Thus, if he wants to be chayzer, he could be chayzer. What if the understanding was that the chitim were going to be rois, the kachava, or the understanding was that they were going to be yafois, and it turned out that they were yafois? Says the Mishnah, ein echad mehem yochel lachzavoy. Then none of them is able to be chayzer. Why? Because there was no mekach tois. Shchamtis v'nimtzus levana. What happens if there was an understanding that the moicher was going to sell wheat to the lekeach? However, shchamtis, it was going to be red wheat, and it turned out that it was levana, was white wheat. Or levana v'nimtzus shchamtis. The understanding was that it was going to be white wheat. It turned out to be red wheat. Eitzim shel zeisim, the item being sold is not wheat, rather it's wood. The understanding was that it was going to be eitzim that comes from the zayis, v'nimtzu shel shikma, and it turned out that it was eitzim that comes from a shikma, from a sycamore. Shel shikma, the understanding was that it was going to be from a shikma, v'nimtzu shel zayis, yayin v'nimtzu chaymetz. There was an understanding that wine was going to be sold, it turned out it was vinegar. Chaymetz v'nimtzu yayin. Or there was an understanding that it was going to be vinegar, and it turned out to be wine. Shneyem yucholim lachzor behen. In that case, both of them have the right to be chayzer. And the reason is because it's not what they thought it was going to be. And from either one of their perspectives, there's an element of mekach tois. And just to be clear, because this is the one that requires a little bit more beer, if the understanding was that chitin is going to be sold. And chitin was sold. The discrepancy was that I thought it was going to be good chitin, it was bad chitin. I thought it was going to be bad chitin, it was good chitin. So there's only one person that can claim that I was fooled. It's the person that got the worst end of the deal. The lekeach thought he was getting yafis, he got rois. Well, fakir, the meicha thought he was selling rois, he was selling yafis. If, however, it was red wheat versus white wheat, or it was Eitzim Shal Zayis versus Eitzim Shal Shikma, or it was Yayiv and Imtza Chaimis, there's no better or worse, right? From the dollar and cents perspective, it could be they're all worth the same. Some people prefer Yayin, some people prefer Chaimis. Some people prefer Eitzim Shal Zayis, some people prefer Eitzim Shal Shikma. Some people prefer red wheat, some people prefer white wheat. So there's no one person versus the other that can claim Mekachtois. Fakert, they both can claim Mekachtois. And it's for that reason, both of them, if they want, could be chayza. So what are the four midos b'moichren? The first midah is where the lekeach gets the raw end of the deal, where the lekeach thought he was buying chitim yafos, it turned out that he was buying chitim rois. The second midah is where the moicher gets the raw end of the deal. The moicher thought that he was selling chitim rois, it turned out he was selling yafos. That's category number two, where the meicher is yachal achsa. The third is where it was rois v'nimtzu rois, yafos v'nimtzu yafos. Everything was as they thought it was going to be. Ein echad mehem yachal achsa. That's pasha. None of them could be chayzer. And then finally, you have a situation where it's a mekach tois from either one of their perspectives. Not only from one of their perspectives, but really from either one of their perspectives. Because they thought it was red, it turned out it was white. And one of them might prefer to buy red, the other one might prefer to sell red. The point is that from either one of their perspectives, you can hear a mekach tois, and hear the halach is shneim yuchaylum lachzabem. So the first midah is loikeach yachal lachzer, the second midah is moicher yachal lachzer, the third midah is ein echod mehem yachal lachzer, and the fourth midah is shneim yuchaylum lachzabem. Either way, this first gemara that we're going to learn right now is going to discuss two memras that the Amir Rav Chizda said. Both of these memras are me'inyin le'inyin ba'oysayinyin. Both of these memras, as we're going to see, may have a shaychis to our Mishnah, and they require a tiny bit of an introduction. Now, the introduction to what Rav Chizda is about to say is the sugya of Eina, which is discussed in Masechtas Bava Metzia, in the fourth perek, perek Azov. Perek Azov, we know, is a hard perek. The sugya of Eina is a hard sugya. And really, the proper introduction would be a little bit elaborate. In fact, if you look at the Rashbams, right here on the Mishnah and on this first Gemara, he's very mayrich, and he goes into the blotta of the sugyas of Oina. We'll just give a tiny bit of an introduction, and that is that whenever you talk about Oina, meaning there was a transaction and somebody was fooled, somebody either paid too much money or sold for too little money. If you pay too much money, nisana halokech, halokech was full. If you sold it for too little money, so then nisana hamoicher. The moicher is the one that was full. But anytime you talk about oina, so the hakdama is that you have to determine how much the oina was, percentage-wise, relative to the value of the transaction. And really, all Oina can be divided into three groups. There's what's known as Oina of Pachis Mishtos, there's what's known as Oina of Ishtos, and then there's what's known as Oina of more than Ishtos. Now, if you ask the man on the street, what's the halacha as it relates to Oina Pachas Mishtos, Oina Shtos, Oina Yes Mishtos? The right answer would be as follows. Oina Pachas Mishtos, we assume Mechila. It's neither here nor there. Could be it's aser, but from a Chesha Mishpat perspective, nothing. If the Oina was a perfect shtos, it was exactly 1/6, so then we say that the transaction is chal, whatever they agreed upon is, but at the same time, the meicher, the lekeach, whoever got the better end of the deal, has to make the nezana hal. So, for example, if the lekeach overpaid by a shtos, the transaction is, but at the same time, the meicher has to return the shtos. If the Oina was more than ishtos, then already it's a mekach tois. And if it's a mekach tois, this whole transaction never really happened. The whole thing gets unwound. That is what I think the man on the street would say. And if he would say that, he would get it right. stating that there is a Mishnah in Perek Hazav, a Stam Mishnah, that doesn't say that. The Stam Mishnah says as follows. The Stam Mishnah says that in the event that the Oino was a Shtos, the perfect Shtos, that's an interesting oxymoron. So then the halacha is that the person that was Nisana actually has two choices. Choice A is, he could say, I'm happy with the transaction, but at the same time, I overpaid a shtus, give me back my shtus, and everything is going to be okay. Or if he wants to back out of the transaction, he has a right to back out of the transaction. So, lefi ha-emes, lefi the halacha, in the event that toinah is a shtus, you can't back out of the transaction. The transaction is what it is. You have a schus to be tevei the shtus in return. But to back out, that's not something you have a right to do. That's true. Oh, but that's not what the Stam Mishnah in Perek Hazav says. The Stam Mishnah in Perek Hazav says that in the event that the Oino was a shtus, the Nisana, whoever it is that was fooled, actually has two choices. One choice is to say, yeah, I want the transaction to be, just give me back the shtus. The other choice that he has is if he wants to back out, he has a right to back out. Now, the Gemara over there in Perek Hazav discusses how could it be that the halacha is not like the Stam Mishnah. But, heavy idea, the Stam Mishnah in Perek Hazav is not like the halacha. So again, where's the discrepancy? La halacha, if the ino is a shtus, the transaction is what it is. No one has a right to back out of the transaction. However, the nisana has a schus to get back the shtus. According to the Stam Mishnah, you actually have two choices. One choice is to do that. The other choice is that if you want to unwind the transaction, you have a right to unwind the transaction. And by the way, that's in contrast to where if the ino would be yes in shtus, where it's a mekach tois. Where the ino is a perfect shtus, so there the mekach tois is like an option. And if you want to exercise it, you can. You can say that I want to back out of the transaction. You don't have to, but if you want to, you could. And who's the one that gets to make that call? It's the person that was Nisana. So as a background to the Gemara, we're about to learn, Rav Chisda, Zokter Rashbam, holds like that Stam Mishnah. By the way, everything we just spoke at is Mefurish and the Rashbam. This is not extra credit. This is the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says that Rav Chisda holds like that Stam Mishnah. And he holds that in the event that there was a Na of a Shtos, he has a right, the Nisana, to either keep the transaction, or if he wants, he has a right to back out of that transaction as well. Now, another thing that the Rashbam talks about that's not so critical to understanding Pashup Shana and the Gemara, but the Rashbam talks about it, so we'll just mention it, and that is that in the sugyas of Oino, there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, exactly how you define Oino. According to Rav, Oino, or the shtus, whenever you factor that, because that is the critical point, as we just said, is based on what was the ayna relative to the real value of the item. So, for example, if you have an item that's worth $6 and you paid $7 for it, you the lekeach overpaid, you were nisana by how much? By a six. Shmuel holds that ayna can be either shtus of the mekach, or it could also be shtus of the ma'os. So in the event that you paid a dollar amount and the oina portion of your payment would reflect 1/6 of what it is you're paid. So for example, if you the lekeach bought something that's worth $5 and you paid $6, so $5 is the real value, the $6 is the oina. The oina represents 1/6 of what it is you paid. Das heißt oichet oina. So again, by way of background and by way of introduction, Rav Chisda holds like Shmuel, and he holds that when it comes to computing the Oino, it's not shtus mekach exclusively, but shtus of the mois would also be considered shtus. So two things that maybe if you think of the idea of Oino just based on Zikarin will throw you for a little bit of a loop that the Rashbam helps us out with, right? Petrilo Sasugi. Rav Chisda is about to talk about Oino, but Rav Chisda is making two assumptions. One assumption that Rav Chisda is making is that if the Oino is a perfect shtus, there's a tzad mekach tois, because whoever's nisan, if he wants to back out of the transaction, this is something he has a right to do. Additionally, when we talk about Oino and we try to determine the six, a shtus of the mois is also going to be considered a shtus. Rav Chisda says, if somebody sold something that was worth 5 zuz for 6 zuz, okay, so there was Oino. How much I know? 1 zuz. This oina, based on the introduction that we just said, according to Shita Shmuel and Perek Hazav, is the oina of a shtos. Who is Nisana? The loikeach was Nisana. What's the halacha? That if the loikeach wants, he could say, let's keep the transaction, give me back that 6 zuz. Or if he wants to back out of the transaction, he has a right to back out of the transaction. Okay, the hukar, the amad al shmoina, and then what happened? Lo and behold, so this person bought something worth 5, and he overpaid. He paid an extra zuz. And then all of a sudden there was inflation, and this thing that he bought is suddenly worth shmoina. So initially, it looked like the lekeach got a bad deal. He paid an extra zuz for something. Well, it turns out that he actually paid 2 zuzim less than what it was really worth. Initially, it was worth 5, and he paid 6. But by the time the dust settled, it's actually worth 8, and he paid 6. Okay, so Rav Chisda said, "Mi Nisana? Who is the one that was Nisana?" Now, initially, the Lekech was Nisana. But Rav Chisda's thinking out loud, and Rav Chisda wants to know, could the Meicher now back out? Meaning, could the Meicher say that, one second, I sold you something for 6 that's really worth 8. I'm the one that was Nisana. I'm the one that got fooled. And as a result, I won out. Now, what would even be the Havamina that the Meicher could say that? Like, what are you even talking about? The Teretz is, it's this whole elaborate introduction. It's because Rav Chisda holds that every time there's a Meicher, where there was Nisana Shtus, there's a Tzad Mekachtois. Now, the Lekech is the one that has that option to call the Mekachtois in our case, because he's the one that was Nisana. But clearly, this transaction is a little bit flimsy, the Haraya, because if the Lekech would want to back out, he would have a right to back out. So it comes out that we're not dealing with a solid, concrete transaction. We're dealing with a little bit of a flimsy transaction. So Solketai Techamina, now, if all of a sudden the tables turn, because all of a sudden the price went up, and now all of a sudden it looks like the Meicher is the one that was Nisana, so if he wants to back out, maybe he should be able to. So Rav Chisda is posing a question. He says, rhetorically, "Mi Nisana? Who's the one that was Nisana?" Lekeach? No, it's only Lekeach. Right? False alarm. It was a fun Havamina. But at the end of the day, he says, Rav Chisda, you want to know who was Nisana? It's only Lekeach that was Nisana. And it's for that reason, Lekeach, if he wants to back out, he could back out because that's his regular schus that he has because he was Nisana shtus. But if the Meicher wants to back out, he would not be able to back out. And the reason, said Rav Chisda, is as follows. Meaning, Pashi would say, it's obvious. No, but it's not obvious. If it was so obvious, we were not even having this conversation, right? So Rav Chisda is certainly entertaining this Havamina. And the reason that doesn't work is Mishum, the Amale, because the Lekech can tell the Meicher. He says, think about this for a second. Hagabatzmacha, ilu loy o nisan, loy have a matzis hadrasbach, had you not fooled me, had you not overcharged me by a zuz, would you have been able to back out? If you sell something, and then 5 minutes later, the price of what it is you sold went up, well, you know, too bad. It is what it is. You'll have some seller's remorse, but at the same time, if you want to back out, you can't back out. Oh, now, all of a sudden, and you figured out a way you should be able to back out. Why? Because the original transaction has a little bit of a luch in it. Why? Because there was, so because you fooled me, therefore, you should get now an opportunity to save yourself and not lose out from what you would have lost at had you not fooled me. It doesn't work that way, right? Had you not fooled me, you could not have been chayzer. Why? Because a deal is a deal. Now that you fooled me, you should be able to be chayzer. Rav Chisda said a geshmak esfarim, and because of that, he said that the meicher would not be able to back out. Says the Gemara, v'tana tuna, that l'chayra, we have a raya from our Mishnah to Rav Chisda's halacha. Now, our Mishnah didn't say Rav Chisda's halacha, right? So this is going to be a little bit of a stretch. But says the Gemara, I think there's a raya to Rav Chisda's chiddush from Unzer Mishnah. What did Mishnah say? Yafis v'nimtzu ra'ois. The Mishnah was talking about the arba midos b'meich. And what was the first midah? Yafis v'nimtzu ra'ois lekech yachal achzavai. So there's a buyer and a seller, and they agreed to trade chitin. And the understanding was that they were going to be good chitin, and they turned out that they were bad chitin. So what's the halacha? The lekeach, because he's the one that was fooled, he can back out. He has the ability to say that I didn't agree to the rois, and as a result, if I want to back out from this, this is something that I would be able to back out from. This, says the Gemara, is a raya to what Rav Chisda said. How's this right? Rav Chisda said. So the Rashbam says as follows: that the Gemara is tining that isn't this first midah of the arba midos b'moichrim pshita? Isn't it so obvious? Like, why does the Mishnah have to tell me yofes v'nim tzurois halakeach yachal lachzaboy? Of course, the lakeach is yachal lachzaboy. It's so obvious that that's the way it is. Says the Gemara, I'm going to tell you what the Chiddush is, and read the Gemara's words carefully. V'tana tufa tana tuna yofes v'nim tzurois lakeach yachal lachzaboy. You know what the chiddush is? The chiddush is that the moicher can't be chayzer. But why is it the chiddush that the moicher can't be chayzer? Here comes the akimta. Because we're going to make an akimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about that after it was yafois v'nim tzurois, now it became mamish yafois. And therefore, all of a sudden, it's nisana the moicher. And so, could I mean, if that's the case, if the moicher wants to be chayzer, it could be chayzer. Oh, that's already a chiddush. You know what the chiddush is? Like, keach yachal achzabai v'loi moicher. Emphasis on v'loy moicher, and that's the first of the arba midas b'moicherim, and that's what the chiddush is going to be. So again, is Rav Chisda's halacha mafurish in the Mishnah? No, but the tana tuna tain is the mar. Because if not, I'm not really sure what the chiddush is. So maybe the chiddush of the first of the midas b'moicherim is goof for Rav Chisda's halacha. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Vam Rav Chisda." Rav Chisda said a second halacha. Machalei shavas sheish b'chamish. So it's the same exact halacha, but in this case, it's not the lekeach that's being fooled, and then the price goes up, so the moicher is being fooled. It's initially the moicher is being fooled, and then the price goes down, and the lekeach is being fooled, as we're about to see. So what happens if somebody sells something that was worth sheish b'chamish? Again, it was ayna, and it was ayna v'shtos. So it was worth six, but the moicher only got five. So the moicher is the one that was nisana. V'huzlu, v'amdu al gimel, but then the price went down even more, and it was amdu al gimel. So initially, who was nisana? The moicher. Why? Because he got five zuz for something that was worth six zuz. Well, lo and behold, it turned out that the price of this item went down, and because the price of this item went down, now it turns out that it was only worth three zuz, which means the moicher got five zuz for something that's only worth three zuz. So the moicher did pretty good. So says Rav Chisda, mi nesana, who's the one that was nesana? Now the moicher was initially nesana, but now the lekeach ended up paying five for something that was worth three. So you could hear that maybe the lekeach is nesana. So it's the same exact Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says moicher, the moicher is the one that was nesana, and therefore moicher yachol lachzabai below lekeach. The moicher is the one that can be chayzer, but the lekeach can't be chayzer. Why not? Maybe the lekeach should be able to be chayzer. And again, it's based on the same svara, because being that whenever there's a nov shtos, there is an option that the nesana has to back out of this transaction. So that means this transaction is not such a strong transaction. So maybe it should give the lekeach a schus now that he became a nesana to get out. The amale is based on the same koyach hatayna, because the moicher can tell the lekeach, ilu lo yarnison lehava masas hadus bach, had you not fooled me, you could have never been chayzer. If you buy something, then it goes down in price, so it's too bad, right? So you're going to tell me there's a chayt and isker because you went and you fooled me? So therefore you should have a right to back out. There's no way you should be able to do this. Zok tigemar v'tana tuna. We have a right from our Mishnah to this halacha Rav Chisda as well. And where is that from? It's from the second midas b'moichem. What was the second midah? Rois v'nim tzu yafos macha yachal achzabai. In the event that there was an agreement, there was a handshake that we're going to sell rois, and it turned out that it was yafos. So who got fooled over here? The moichem. The moichem thought he was going to be giving up his rois. Now it turns out he's giving up his shufra, the shufra. So the Mishnah said, macha yachal achzabai v'loi lekeach. The moichem is the one that could be chayzer, but the lekeach cannot be chayzer. Isn't that obvious? Oh, the teretz is, it's talking about a case where now it's nesana lekeach also, because those rois became really rois. So you would have had a havamina that maybe all of a sudden the lekeach is nesana. If he wants to back out, he could back out as well. Kamash b'lanah. But the point is that if you want to give a chiddush, give a punim to the second midas b'maychen, plug in Rav Chisda's halacha. So again, Rav Chisda said two chiddushim, it's the same exact chiddush twice, once from the standpoint of the lekeach, once from the standpoint of the moicher, and the Gemara says v'tana tuna on both of them. That would explain the chiddush of the first two of the arba midas b'moicher, which b'muschul rishon seems to be very obvious. Says the Gemara, however, my kamashmala. This is an interesting kasha. The Gemara says, what's Rav Chisda teaching me? Mastisani, isn't it a mefurish a mishnah? In other words, the Gemara is so convinced and so persuaded by the v'tana tuna that the Mishnah is saying Rav Chisda's halacha, that why do I even need Rav Chisda to tell me his halacha? It's a Mefurash Mishnah. Now again, Rav Chisda's halacha is not a Mefurash Mishnah, but it's Mefurash in the Mishnah something, and that something has to be a Chiddush, and the only Chiddush I can possibly think of is Rav Chisda's Chiddush, because otherwise, What is the chiddush of the Mishnah? So if that's the case, what Rav Chisda is saying is pshita. So why do I even need Rav Chisda's halacha? Meaning, at the end of the day, Rav Chisda's halacha is coming from the Mishnah. In other words, like a beer in the Mishnah. You learn the Mishnah, Arba Midas B'Moichrin, and Rav Chisda just explained Mida number one and Mida number two. But the Gemara's timing, it's obvious that's what it is. I don't need Rav Chisda. I can look at Rabbeinu Avadya Bar Tanur. I can look at the Tosfos Yontif. I don't need Rav Chisda for this, because it's so pashut that that's what the Mishnah is saying. Says the Gemara, it's not true. It's not so pashut. Why? Because even Masisan, had I only had the Mishnah Hava Mina, I would have thought, Dulmo de Rav Chisda Travai Mosa Hajib. Maybe the halacha is not like Rav Chisda. Meaning, it's like Rav Chisda's Hava Mina. That really, in a case where initially it was Nisana, like Keach, and then it was Nisana the Moicher, both of them could be Chayser. Or initially it was Nisana the Moicher, then it was Nisana the Keach, both of them could be Chayser. Like what Rav Chisda thought in the Hava Mina, not like the Maskana of Rav Chisda. Aye, if that's the case, what is the Mishnah coming to tell me? I thought the Mishnah's goofa coming to tell me, no, only the person that was initially Nisana is the one could be Chayzer, because otherwise, what's the Chiddush? Umas Nisin, says the Gemara, Hainu Taimo Mishum Dechsev. The reason in our Mishnah, maybe the halacha is that only the Nisana could be Chayzer, is because the Pasuk says, Ra, Ra, Yoimer Hakoina. So this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Ra, Ra, Yoimer Hakoina. And it's because of that pasuk, and it's really based on that pasuk, that you could learn the Mishnah differently, and without Rav Chisda, you would have thought that Pshat in the Mishnah is based on Ra, Ra, Yoimer, Akoina, and it's for that reason I needed Rav Chisda to tell me what the real Pshat in the Mishnah is. What is the real Pshat in the Mishnah? It's Rav Chisda's halach. So what does this even mean? That I would have thought Pshat in the Mishnah is not the obvious, because that's Pshita, also not Rav Chisda, but I would have thought Pshat in the Mishnah is based on this pasuk of Ra, Ra, Yoimer, Akoina. So if you take a look at the Rashbam, Dibra Maschel Umas Nisen, the Rashbam brings two pshatim. First pshat that the Rashbam brings is from his Zeder Rashi. So we'll learn a Rashi here in Bava Basra, that paid Dalad Amad Aleph. I think it's Kedai to see it inside. So Zok the Rashbam, Dibra Maschel Umas Nisen. Bidaleka Oynokla. The Mishnah that was talking about Rois and Yafois really was not even talking about, maybe, a situation where there was Oynok. Ela B'shav Yamach. Meaning, everything was sold based on what was presented. From a dollars and cents perspective, there was never oino. Okay. Stating that, the loikeach or the moicher, depending on the first or the second case, is just timing. Not that I got full dollars and cents wise, but I didn't want this item. I thought I was buying yafas. I was buying rice. I thought I was selling rice. I was selling yafas. But at the same time, it's not a question of dollars and cents, because bidaleko ino kla. Because there's no ino over here. Ela b'shavin. Everything is being sold at its real value. Sof de reshman hilkach. It's for that reason. B'mocha yafas v'nimtzu rice. In the event that it was yafas v'nimtzu rice, the first case where it was nesana dolekeach, yochel lekeach lachzaboy, dolekeach kibi choyz, the amalei, you can tell him, yafas bikashti u'mekritoyz. Right? I was under the impression I was buying yafas, and as a result, there's a mekachtois. But if the moicher wants to be chayzer, v'loy man, he wants to say, gamani echsosh a mekachtois, so I also want to be chayzer because it was a mekachtois. Halakech, oimaloy, loikech, could tell him, einoy tos. It's not a toss from your perspective. Sha'afani becheskas rois lokachtem. Because when I bought it, I actually thought that I was buying rois, the ra ra yoimer akoinu. Because the lekeach always thinks he's getting rice. No, the case was where it was rice, the yafos v'nimtzu rice, like the Mishnah said. And the Mishnah saying a chiddush that lekeach is yachal lachzor and not the moicher. What's the kasha? It's pshita. It's so obvious. Why is it obvious? It's a mekach tois mitzad the lekeach, but it's not a mekach tois mitzad the moicher. That's all working with the premise that the mekach tois over here is a dollars and cents mekach tois. I thought I was paying for yafos. Turns out I'm paying for rois. So who's the one that's nesana? It's lekeach that's nesana, and it's for that reason the Gemara said pshita. What's the etzah up until this point to try to answer the Gemara's pshita? Rav Chisda's case where la'achar ha'maisa the moicher is also being nesana. So you could have thought that being there now the moicher is also being nesana. Maybe the moicher could also back out. Kamash one that he can't back out. But the Gemara said that's not the case. Let's forget that. The case is talking about where there is no mekach tois mitzad the moment. The mekach tois is mitzad the item. There was an understanding it was yafos, and now it turns out that it was rois. And what we're saying is that the lekeach could be choyzer and not the moicher. But the question is, why can't the moicher be chayzer as well? At the end of the day, if the lekeach is being chayzer, why? Because you could say, in my mind, I thought it was yafis and not rois. So shouldn't the moicher have the same schus to also be able to back out? And the moicher should be able to tell the lekeach that it was a mekach tois. Meaning, just like the lekeach is able to say mekach tois, because I thought I was buying yafis and I got rois, and despite the fact that it's the same price, but at the end of the day, in my mind, I thought I was buying one thing, and it turned out I got something else. So the moicher maybe should be able to be the one that initiates this argument, and he should be able to tell the lekeach, even if the lekeach doesn't say it himself, that I'm calling mekach tois based on the fact that from your perspective, you thought you were buying yafis and it turned out it was rice. Now, just to be clear, the Rashbam doesn't mean that just like the lekeach can tain a mekach tois because he thought he was buying yafis and he got rice, the moicher should be able to tain a mekach tois because he thought he was selling yafis and it turned out he was selling rice. That's not a tain of mekach tois because, to the contrary, that's actually better. If he ends up selling rice instead of yafis, that benefits the moicher. It's only a tain of mekach tois mitzad lekeach, but the Havamina would have been that just like the lekeach can call the mekach tois, maybe the moicher can call the mekach tois on behalf of the lekeach, even when the lekeach is not saying it. On that note, Rashbam says that lekeach oimeloi, the lekeach has a right to tell him einoi tois. Then no, it's not true. It's not a tois. Sha'afani becheskas rois lekachten. He says, why are you tining? It's a mekach tois. You're tining. It's a mekach tois because wasn't the understanding yafis vinim to rois? The lekeach is going to tine back. I never thought I was getting yafis. I thought I was getting rois all along. Because ra yoyim rakoinet. That's that pasuk of Mishle. So in my head, I thought I was getting rois, and I got rois. And therefore, I, from my perspective, always thought that it was going to be rois. And therefore, you can't tell me that I was fooled, because the rois that I got, I actually thought I was going to get. It's a little bit of a hard shot. And it's for that reason, it's only the lekeach that has the right to say, I thought I was getting yafis and not rois. But the moicher can't tell the lekeach that you should know it's a mekach tois because you thought you were getting yafis and it turned out that you got rois, because lekeach could always tell back to the moicher that no, I actually thought I was getting rois based on this idea of Ra Yoyim Rakoina. The Sefer Namin, the Rashbam says the same is true in the Sefer. Rois finim tzu yafis, in the event that it was rois finim tzu yafis, ha moicher chayzer. Over there, the moicher could be chayzer. The Amar, because he could say, toisi, v'loi hoi bet aitilim kareilu. I made a mistake. I didn't think I was going to sell this. Avalim bo, lekeach lachzer ba li lazu. But let's say lekeach wants to come because let's say later the chitin went down. You have to know why he would want to do this, right? But let's say he wants to come ba'alilo, for that this is not what you sold me. That I know that when you bought it becheskas rois, because ra yoyim rakoina, because I know the koina always thinks that what he is buying is bad. Either way, it's a little bit of a hard gemara, but what the gemara is saying is that really when you read the Mishnah, let's just get one thing clear. When the Mishnah says arba midas b'moichrin, so it sounds like, I don't know, very simple. If the lekeach gets fooled, so he can back out. If the moicher gets fooled, he can back out. The gemara doesn't like this because the gemara thinks it's too pasha. And if it's too pasha, it can't be what the Mishnah is saying. So what then is the Mishnah coming to say? So the gemara thought that maybe what the Mishnah is saying is Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda himself said that that's what the Mishnah is saying, the Tanatuna. That the Mishnah is talking about a case where initially the lekeach was fooled, but then the price has swung, so now it turns out the moicher was also fooled. Or initially the moicher was fooled, then the price has swung, it turned out the lekeach was also fooled. There could be a havamina that maybe now that you're also fooled, you the moicher, you the lekeach, maybe you could be chayzer as well. Zogt the Rav Chisda, that is not the case. And faket, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell me. It's only the person that was fooled the chatchila that has the right to back out. Says the Gemara, okay, but isn't it so pasha that that's what the Mishnah means? Meaning, even though Rav Chisda is bringing something very novel to the table, but the Gemara's tain is pshita, my kamashmalo, masisini. How else would you learn the Mishnah? In other words, I don't know another way to learn the Mishnah. So it turns out that what Rav Chisda is saying is really obvious. And if Rav Chisda is saying is really obvious, so why do I even need Rav Chisda? So all the Gemara needs for that is to come up with another pshita in the Mishnah that's not going to be Rav Chizkiya's pshat. Another possibility of what the Chiddush might be. Says the Gemara that I would have thought that maybe the Halacha is not like Rav Chizkiya. If the Halacha is not like Rav Chizkiya, what does that mean? That in the event that there's a fluctuation, really if any one of them wants to be Chizkiya, they would be able to be Chizkiya, not like Rav Chizkiya said. Okay, so then what is the Chiddush in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says, Nesana lekech, to lekech be Chizkiya, Nesana hamoicher, that the moicher is the one that could be Chayzer. It's talking about where there really was no price fluctuation. It's just a question of, did I sell you what I told you I was going to sell you or not? So the Lekeach could always say that if I thought I was getting the office and now I got Royce, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Therefore, I could be Chayzer. So maybe the Moicher should be able to tell the same thing to the Lekeach. And if the Moicher decides he wants to back out, why would the Moicher back out? I don't know, because the price went up. But the point is, the Moicher will go over to the Lekeach and he'll tell him the same thing. He'll tell him that, one second, this is a Mekach Tois, because let's be honest, you didn't think you were buying this. The Lekeach could always say, it's not true. Yeah, rah, rah, yoimer, I kayin. You think I thought it was the office? You think I believed you for a second? I knew it was bad. Rah, rah, yoimer. So based on that kind of rah rah yoy merakoina, therefore it's only the lekeach that can exercise this option, as opposed to the moicher can never tell the lekeach that, let's be honest, from your perspective, it's a mekach tois. So notice, the only time it would be a mekach tois mitzad the moicher is if the moicher can somehow convince us that from the lekeach's perspective, it's a mekach tois. But the point is he can't do that. Because even though he's going to say, once you thought it was Yafis and it turned out it was Rice, but he could say, I always thought it was going to be Rice. Because Ra, Ra, Yoy, Mera, Kaina, the same works in the reverse with the Moich and the Lekech. That could have been the Chiddush. That's Rav Chizkiya is coming to tell us that that's really not the Chiddush. Either way, the rest of the daf is a little bit lighter. So the Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said that what happens if somebody sells someone and it turns out, or somebody sells something to someone, and it turns out it's not what he thought he was going to sell, or the buyer didn't get what he thought he was going to buy. But at the same time, it's not a question of value. So for example, it was shchamtis v'nimtzes levana, levana v'nimtzes shchamtis, eitzim shal zayis v'nimtzes shal shikma, shal shikma v'nimtzes shal zayis, yayin v'nimtzes chaymetz, chaymetz v'nimtzes yayin, and all of those cases, shnei v'chaym lachzabem, either one of them, if they want to back out, have the right to back out. And the reason is, because there's no better or worse. Some people prefer this, some people prefer that. And being that there's no better or worse, so therefore, if any one of them wants to be chayzer, they want. So the first example was shchamtis v'nimtzes levana, levana v'nimtzes shchamtis. So shchamtis we said is red wheat, and levana we said is white wheat. Says the Gemara. Amar Reb Papa. Reb Papa said midik tani levana. From the fact that we mentioned shchamtis and we also mentioned levana, so we know that shchamtis is not levana, right? Okay, what is shchamtis then? It has to be red. Now the reason it has to be red is because there's only two color options. When it comes to wheat, it's either going to be red or it's going to be white. Shchamtis is not Lavana because Lavana is Lavana. So obviously it's red. So Rav Papa made an observation. He said, if that's the case, Shmamina, Hai Shimsha Sumkesihi. I know from this that the sun must be red. And the reason is because if we're using the word Shchamtis to refer to red, Shchamtis comes from the word Chama. So it makes sense then that the sun must be red, and that's why the word that the Mishnah uses to describe the color red is the color of the sun. So must be the sun is red. And he said, Teda, I'll prove it to you, by the way, Rav Papa said. Because samkut safru upon you. Look up at the sun during sunrise and sunset, and you're going to see red. So must be that the sun is red, says Rav Papa. So why then, if you look at the sun during the day, you don't see red? It's because the sun is so powerful that it doesn't allow you to see clearly, and therefore you can't see the redness. You're somewhat compromise in terms of your ability to see. But if you want to know, says Rav Papa, the color of the sun, it's red. How do I know the color of the sun is red? Because we're referring to red in our Mishnah with the word sun, with the word shchantis. I'll ask you a kasha from a brisa. It says in the Torah, umareu amayk minar. So this is one of the behereses. This is one of the negoim. Kimare chama amuka minatzel. And the brisa says, what does it mean, umareu amayk minar? Referring to that particular nega, it was like the appearance of the sun, which is deeper than the appearance of shade. V'hasam lavan hu. And we know that that neg over there in that pasuk is white. So you see that what color is the sun? It's white. It's not red. So the Gemara says, no. The way you have to understand the price is kemar chama v'loy kemar chama. It's a little bit kemar chama, but it's not 100% kemar chama. Kemar chama damu gemar tzel. It's like a kemar chama that it's deeper than the tzel. But like kemar chama dilu hasam lavan v'hacha adoim. Meaning the sun is deeper than the tzel. The mara of the chama is amoik from the mara of the tzel. And it's from that standpoint that we compare the nega to the chama, because its mara too is amoik min ha'ar. Stating that, the color of the nega is not the same as the color of the chama. The color of the nega is white, and the color of the chama is red. According to this havamina that we just had, that the sun is white, how are you going to explain this phenomenon that in the morning and in the evening, the sun is red? Meaning, Lafia Emes Rapapa said the sun is red. And that's why in the morning and the evening you see it as red. Why during the day don't you see it as red? It's because it's just too bright. And as a result, you can't see it properly. But the Gemara had a havamina based on a brisa. That really, what color is the sun? It's really white. Okay, so now you have to work backwards. How do you explain why in the morning and in the evening it's really red? So the Gemara says as follows. But safra, in the morning, the chalfa be vardi de Gan Eden. In the morning, the sun passes the roses in Gan Eden. Those roses are red, and as a result, it gets like a red tone. And that's why it looks red. Vipanya, in the evening, it's the chalfa pischa de Gehenim. It passes over the Pesach of Gehenim. Gehenim has fire, which is red, and that's why it looks red. In other words, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Gan Eden is in the east and Gehenim is in the west. So when it rises in the east, it looks red because what you're seeing is the complexion of the roses of Gan Eden. When it sets in the west, it looks red because what you're seeing is the fire of Gehenim. Ikadami, some say Ibcha, some say that it's just the opposite. What does it mean it's just the opposite? In the morning, when it rises in the east, it has the reflection of Gehenim and the fire of Gehenim, which is in the west. And in the evening, when it sets in the west, it has a reflection of the roses of Gan Eden, which are in the east. But the bottom line is, that Havamina was that really the sun is white, and the explanation for the redness of the sun, Betzafra Upanya, is based on the Vardi of Gan Eden, and it's based on the fire of Gehenna. We're going to get back to this. Yayin v'nimtza chaymetz, shnei mechaylem lachzbam. The Mishnah said that what happens if somebody thought he was selling yayin, it turned out it was chaymetz, or chaymetz, it turned out it was yayin. Any one of them want to be chayze, they could be chayze, because from either one of the perspectives, you can claim that it's a mekach chayze. Should we assume that the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, not according to Rabban? The Tanya we learned in a brayse, yayin v'chaymetz min echotu. Yayin and chaymetz is considered one species. It's one min. Rebbe says, shnei minin, that they're really considered two different min. So you have a machloikis Rebbe in the Chachamim, whether yayin and chaymetz is min echad, or whether it's shnei minim. Our Mishnah seems to say that it's two minim. Who said two minim in the Braisa? Rebbe is the one that said two minim. Ah, so don't you see our Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Rebbe, right? So lema masnisin Rebbe hivaloi rabbanim. Now that halacha, that machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim is talking about something very different than what our Mishnah is talking about. In fact, the Tap Rashbam on the Amid gives two applications of where that halach is negay. One is in the world of Chumas and Maises, where there's a din that when you mafish Chumas and Maises, it has to be from the min that you're being mafrish from to the min that you're being mafrish for. So if you want to be mafrish Truma for a certain min, you have to take from that min to be mafrish. And Rebbe and the Chachamim argued whether Chometz and Yayin is considered one min, or whether they're considered two min. Another place where this is negeya is the sugya Moedim and Miktas. So Moedim and Miktas, we know, is Chayiv Shvu Dei Raisa, but it has to be a Hoidami min Hataina. But if it's the proverbial Tana Chitim, Hoidaloi Besairin, then it's already a big machlokes Tanam, whether or not you're going to be Chayiv Shvu Dei Raisa. So Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing with regards to Yayin and Chometz. Do we look at it as one min in the world of Moedim and Miktas or not? But we're just telling two, is the that just like Rebbe and the Chachamim argued whether it's one min or two minim with regards to those halachic discussions, l'chura hu adin, as it relates to our sugya. So it's Yayin Chaimitz is two minim. I understand the Mishnah. Why Yayin Chaimitz Chaimitz into Yayin Shnei Mechayim Lachsebet? But if Yayin Chaimitz is really one min, how do you understand the Mishnah? Also, Zokti Mar Leim Masnisin Rabbi of Aloich Chama. The Gemara says, Afilu Temi Rabbanon. You could say really that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbanon because Adkan Lepli Rabbanon Lel. The Rabbi Elinim Ma'aser V'Chumah. When did the Rabbanon argue with Rabbi? That's with regards to the Chumah Ma'aser. Or like the Rashbam says regarding Moed V'Mikzas. Uki the Rabbi Law and his base is telling Rabbi Law. Dam Rabbi Law, but Law said the Minayi L'Temi Narali Yafash Chumasi Chumah. How do you know that if someone's Torah min hara ala yafa, that the Truma is Truma? So you're not really supposed to be Torah min hara ala yafa. You shouldn't take Truma from your inferior quality goods on behalf of your better quality goods. But at the same time, if you do it, it works. And Rabbi Loza, how do you know that if you do it, it works? Shenema, say, I know from a pasuk, because it says, that if you're going to do this, you're going to get an Aveira. Now, in Eino Kaddish, if it's not Chal, Nasiyas Chet Lama, so then why are you being punished? You're being punished from something that didn't even work. Right? This has E Ovid Loi Mahani vibes. But the point is that to the extent that you're talking about Nasiyas Chet, Zokter Ashbam, Holoi Ovid Loi Midi, if it didn't work, then you didn't do anything. So just be Yachsev Yitroim, and right, there was no harm. Nothing really happened. Oh, Mikan, from here we learn, L'Toyim, and Aral, Ayofa, Shet Truma, Say Truma. But the point is, says the Gemara, when do we say that Rabbi and the Chachamim are you? That's like in that case, where you're dealing with Trumas and Maestris, where you're talking about is it one min, is another min. You're being Toyim, and Aral, Ayofa, Aval, in your Mekachum Emker, but as relates to Mekachum Emker, the Kuliam, Ikat, and Lichale, Bechamra, and Lichale, Bechala. Everybody agrees. You know why? Because there are people that prefer wine over vinegar. And believe it or not, there are people that prefer vinegar over wine. And it's for that reason, over here in the sugya Mekach Tois, everybody would agree that it's two minim. In short, what the Gemara just said was, is don't shtotsu the halachic machloikis Rebbe in the Chachamim, where the Yayin Chaimitz is one minute, two minim, to sugya Mekach Tois. When you're dealing in halach, is it one minute, is it two minim? Oh, that's a shayla. It's the same min, it's not the same min. Truma Smeister is Moed V'Mikzas. Over here, we're talking about the world of Mekach Tois. It's a whole different sugya. It's like the red wheat and the white wheat. Why? One min, two min? I have no idea. The point is, in the world of Mekach Tois, it's a Mekach Tois. So the Gemara's teretz is that's more of a halachic shayla. This is more of a Mekach Tois shayla. And as a result, you can't shtel to one to the other. The one thing that requires beer, even on a dafyomi level, is why did the Gemara bring Rabbi Law? What exactly did Rabbi Law contribute to the Gemara's teretz? Right? The Gemara said, Afilu Tamer Rabbanon, Ad Kan Loi Pligi Rabbanon Leder Rabbi Elolinin Maiser V'Truma Akud Rabbi Law. Rabbi Law said that if someone's Tamer in Aral Ayafa Truma Say Truma, he has a nice deal in a pasuk. Right? This Rabbi Law is quoted in many places in Chas Pseris Hashas. The Kaman Kuf Mem Gimel Yevamis Pei Tesk Tushem Vavam Mitzian Unvav Tmur Dafe. Right? So this is an often quoted Chitas Rabbi Law, but what does it have to do with our sugya? As doesn't seem to be contributing much to Pashup Shana and the Gemara's Teretz. The Gemara's Teretz is a very Pashta Teretz. I'm Beritva, where the Ritva asks the Kasha, and the Ritva says a little bit of a Hesper. But as it relates to Raid, two Ha'aras. One with regards to Gehenim, and the other one with regards to Gan Eden. So the Gemara Named Aleph mentioned a discussion with regards to what color is the sun. Is the sun white? Or is the sun red? Now, the Metzius is that during the day, the sun would seem to be white. But at the same time, B'tzafra Upanya, during sunrise and sunset, the sun looks red. So the Gemara was a little bit confused, unsure, thinking aloud. Is the sun white or is the sun red? And the Gemara had two mahalchim. One mahalch is that the sun is red. And that's why B'tzafra Upanya, it looks red. The reason during the day it looks white is because the sun is so bright then that you're blinded and you can't see the true color of the sun. The other approach that the Gemara took was that the sun is really white. And the reason B'tzafra Panya looks red is because as the sun rises and sets, it passes Gan Eden and Gehenim respectively. Gan Eden is to the east and Gehenim is to the west. And both Gan Eden and Gehenim have a red color. Gan Eden has a red color because of the Vardi of Gan Eden, the roses, the red roses of Gan Eden, and Gehenim has a red color because of the fire, because of the Esh of Gehenim. But the point is that it's because of the complexion of the roses of Gan Eden and the fire of Gehenim that B'tzafra Upanya, the sun, looks red. Here's Yerushalmi in Mesechtes Chala, it's Perik Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Yerushalmi over there is discussing different things that are chayiv in challah and putter in challah. And the Yerushalmi says as follows. It's a Mishnah. Hasufganim v'hadufshanim v'ho'iskeritin v'chalas hamasres v'hameduma p'tur menachal. All these things are potter menachala. So the exact cheshbon in the Yerushalmi is not important for this raid bite. But the Gemara over there brings that Rabbi Yochanan said that sufganim are really chayiv in challah. And for the Yerushalmi, how does Rabbi Yochanan's memory that sufganim are chayiv in challah stem with the Mishnah that lists sufganim as one of the things that are p'tur menachala? And the Yerushalmi answers, posale b'sufganim shenasu b'chama, that the sufganim that the Mishnah says is potter menachala is talking about sufganim, some fried thing, right? That's what it sounds like. But it's talking about sufganim that were baked in the sun. And because they were baked in the sun, since for that reason there's no chayiv chal. And when Rabbi Yochanan said that sufganim achayiv in chala, he's talking about it was baked in an oven, in a frying pan, I don't know, in a more traditional way. And it's for that reason you're going to be chayiv. Zok the Braisa, what's the makar to this teretz, this distinction? The Tani, we learned to the Braisa. And this brayso is a Tosefta, and it's in the second parak of Masechtas Pesachim. Yoytzin b'sufganim shenasu b'ar. You could be yoytza the chiyuv matzah with sufganim that were prepared in an oven. However, you can't be yoytza with sufganim shenasu b'chama, the sufganim variety that were made in the sun. So Zokti Yerushalmi, you see from this Tosefta that there's a fundamental difference between sufganim shenasu b'chama versus sufganim shenasu b'or. The one that was made b'chama, you can't be yoytza matzah. The one that was made b'or, you could be yoytza matzah. That's the teretz to Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah that says ha-sufganim is p'turim in achala, that's talking about sufganim that were nasa b'chama. And just like you can't be yoytza chayvas matzah b'lel Pesach with those sufganim, why? Because was nasa v'chama, so too you're going to be potter menachala. The two atali zeh b'zeh. As opposed to Rabbi Yochanan that said you are chayiv and chala when you have your sufganim. Yeah, that's the other sufganim that were mentioned in that Tosefta. Sufganim shenasa ba'ur. And the sufganim shenasa ba'ur, you're yoytza yechiv matzah. If you're yoytza yechiv matzah, so in the world of chala, you're going to be chayiv and chala as well. So I heard from Yedidi, Reb Levi Chomsky, he shared with me a ha'ar nefla that he found in the Derech Amuna from Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings this Yerushalmi, and he brings a kasha that he saw in the Sefer Pardes Yosef on this Yerushalmi. And the kasha is as follows. So we know that at the Leil HaSeder we eat matzah, right? Be'erev Toichlu Matzahs. Why do we eat matzah? So we say it in the Haggadah. Matzah zu sha'anu oichlan al shumma. Al shum shalai hispik b'tzeikam shalaviseinu lahachmitz ad shenigla aleim melech malchim lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Golem. Because the Yidden were getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, the great exodus. And they were preparing tzeidu l'derech. So they were preparing dough. And what happened was this, that they were preparing these loaves of bread, these challahs, these baguettes, whatever it was, it didn't have a chance to rise properly, to become chametz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself and said, let's go, it's time to go. How do you know this? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Vayoifu as habotzek asher hoitziu mi Mitzrayim, ugois matzois ki loy chametz. Why not? Ki garshu mi Mitzrayim. Because the Yidden were thrown out of Mitzrayim, v'lo yachlu lehis mameya. And when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they left without any tzedel there. So matzah zu sha'anu oichlan al shumma, it's based on that pasuk in Parshas Bo. Vayoifu as habotzek asher hoitziu mi Mitzrayim, ugois matzois ki loy chametz ki garshu. If you take a look at the Targum Yoinasin on that pasuk, so the Targum Yoinasin, the Lashonai Hazav, says as follows. Vayoifu as habotzik, vahava kotin min lisha, da apiku mi Mitzrayim, umisadrin al reishehoin. So the Yidden had dough that they were preparing to bake, and it was on their head. Umisafi lohoin mechumsa de shimsha. And it was baking because the desert heat was so hot. Chariron patiron. And what it baked into was these chariron patiron. Arum loicham arum itrichum mi Mitzrayim. V'lo yechilu l'mishay v'sapikaloin l'mechel ad chamei seyoyim l'yarchet i'ir mitul d'zovdun loyovdun. So the Targum Yoinasin in his Aramaic sprach says that you want to know the rest of the story. V'yoyfu asapotzeik, how did they bake it? It's because the lisha was misadrin al reishayon, and it was on their head, u'misafi lohim mechumsa d'shimsha, and it was baking from the heat of the sun. So Freik, the Pardes Yosef, he says, I don't understand. How could the Yerushalmi in Aleph Gimel in Masechtas Chal, which is really based on the Tesef, the Perek base in Masechtas Pesachim, say that you can't be Yoytza Chayvas Matzah with the Sufginun that were made Bechama, because it's not considered dough, and so too in Hilchas Chal, you're not going to be Chayv and Chala. Why do we eat matzah in the first place? It's based on a pasuk that says, and take a look at Targum Yonis Ben Azil on that pasuk, and he says mefurish that how did they bake it? They baked the bechamel. So if the matzah zushan uoichlin is a zecher to that, and that was gufa baked bechama, so how is it possible in the world? How is it shayach that if somebody is going to make matzah bechama, you're not yoitza? And it has to be, or l'chayra, it's a kushya nifla. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he said a davar nifla. He said that there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, this is in Perakira, daf lamed chesam adiz, daf lamed chesam ad aleph. It's the sugya of bathing on Shabbos and Yontif, taking showers on Yontif, ve'inkam mekoy melaharech. But the sugya over there begins with a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that ein noisnim beitza, there's machlokes in the Mishnah whether or not it's aser for somebody to cook on Shabbos or to heat up water on Shabbos to the extent that you're not heating it from the fire, but you're heating it in some other way. So, for example, you have sand, which is very, very hot. There's a sudr, which is very, very hot. Can you go now and crack an egg on it and make an egg? So, it's a machlokes in the Mishnah. Ein noisnim beitza b'tzad ameicham v'lo yafkienu b'sudarim. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosi mater. Rabbi Yosi holds that this is really something that's going to be mutzah. According to Rabbi Yosi, it's not a kasha. So, the Gemara lama testam at aleph brings that the Chachamim asked Rabbi Yosi Akasha, Maisa she'asu anshei Tveria, ve'hiviu siloin shel tzoyne l'toich amel shel chamim. There was a Maisa that the anshei Tveria had the chamei Tveria, piyodua, and they came up with a whole patent, a whole etza, how you should be able to bathe with the chamei Tveria on Shabbos. They heated up the water. There was a whole story, and the Chachamim were very upset, and this turned became a very big issue. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam, according to the Chachamim, that the issa Bishlam on Shabbos is true, even if it's not through a fire. So the Chamei Tveria is not fire. And being that the Chamei Tveria is not fire, that's why there was an issue with the Chamei Tveria. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that's matter. And Rabbi Yossi holds that the only time there's an Isser for Bishul on Shabbos is if you're using the fire. But if it's not through fire, there's no problem. You want to take a sudr that sat out in the sun that's really, really hot and crack an egg on it and scramble it. That's something that you're allowed to do. So what was the whole problem in that sugya in Perakira as it relates to the Chamei Tveria? So the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim back, he says, no, you're asking me a kasha from the Chamei Tveria. The Chamei Tveria is different. You want to know why? He said, the Chamei Tveria is told us or. The Chamei Tveria is considered water that was heated by, it's no different than water that you would heat up on your stove. And the reason is, the Chalfi HaPischa de Gehenim. Because you want to know where the Chamei Tveria get their heat from? They get their heat from Pischa de Gehenim. And what's by Gehenim? This fire by Gehenim. And being that this fire by Gehenim, and that's where the Chamei Tveria get their heat. So it's for that reason, says Rabbi Yossi, back to the Chachamim, that the Chachamim had a big problem over there with the Chamei Tveria, because the Chamei Tveria is not some unconventional, weird way of going ahead and heating up water. It's no different than heating up water with fire, because the Chamei Tveria, achalfi apischa de Gehenna. So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky said that you see from this Gemara, from Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that even though Rabbi Yossi holds that when it comes to Mevashel on Shabbos, he holds that if you cook with the Chama, for example, the Halachas, it's not going to be considered Bishul. But at the same time, Chamei Tveria is. And the reason is, it's Mishum de Chalfi HaPischa de Gehenim. So he says that it's true. The Yidden left Mitzrayim, and they had the Batzik, they had the dough on their heads. And it was out in the really, really hot sun. And it was baking in the sun. And because it was baking in the sun, so it's in that fashion, in that form, that they ended up having matzah. Oh, but that matzah, said Reb Chaim, is not considered matzah that was baked in the sun. And the reason is because when did the Yidden leave Mitzrayim? They left first thing in the morning, right? The Aschalta de Gula was middle of the night. But when did they leave? They left first thing in the morning. And the Gemara says in Bava Basra, that pay dalet amid aleph, that why, according to the mandama that holds that the sun is white, does it look red in the morning and the evening? The reason is, Mishum de Chalfa Apischa de Gan Eden ve Apischa de Gehenem. Now there were two Lashonis in the Gemara. Whether in the morning it's red because of Gan Eden or whether in the morning it's red because of Gehenem. But according to one shot, in the morning it's red because of Gehenem. So if that's the case, in the morning the sun is red. And why is it red? Because of the fire of Gehenem. So you say, Meris, the sun, Betzafra Upanya, is mamish like the Chamei Tveria. If it's mamish like the Chamei Tveria, it has a din of Toldus Or. It doesn't have a din of Toldus Chamei. Like Rabbi Yossi said, Mefurish in the Gemara, Mesach the Shabbos, Taflam Atesam at Aleph. And that's why, even though it's based on the Zecher, it's based on the fact that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they had the dough on top of their head and it was baking in the sun. If that's the case, isn't it told us, how could the Yerushalmi to say that if somebody makes sufgan in Bechama, you can't be Yoitzi Yechavis Matzah? There it is, because it was Betzafra. And being that it was Betzafra, so it was Chalfi HaPischa de Gehenim. And if it's Chalfi HaPischa de Gehenim, it's considered that it was baked based on the Pischa de Gehenim, just like the Gemara says regarding the Chami Tveria. Said Reb Chaim, that is the teretz to the part of the series of Skasha. Either way, that's the ha'ara as it relates to Gehenim. As it relates to Gan Eden, just to be Messiah, Biki Toiv. So the Gemara said that again, the sun is red in the morning and it's red in the evening. Going to one pshat in the Gemara, it's Mishum de Chalfi, Apischa de Gan Eden, Vapischa de Gehenim. So why is Pischa de Gan Eden red? It's because there are roses. And because there are roses, so therefore the color is red. So it sounds like the roses are to Gan Eden what the fire is to Gehenim, right? Just the parallel of the Gemara. We understand Gehenim is red because Gehenim's fire. It sounds like Gan Eden is red because Gan Eden is roses. So if you could picture Gan Eden, you would picture roses, right? If you ask someone, what's Gan Eden? So first of all, Gan Eden is a garden. That's Pasha. You see it in the Torah, right? In the beginning of Parashas Bereishis. It's kedai to mention the Lashon of the Ramban. The Ramban is in Shar HaGmul. The Ramban says, Dover ze ikre ba Torah, uperushem bidevrei soifim, she gan eden motzuyhu, ba'olam hazeh b'mokoyim mimekoyim esaretz. Now is it a place, but the Ramban says it's even a place in Olam Hazeh. But the bottom line is that Gan Eden is a place, and it's a garden. And it sounds like there's a lot of different trees and different things going on in that garden. Hashem tells Adam Arishim, he called Eitzagan Ochel Toichel, that's the one you're not allowed to eat. So for sure there's a lot of trees, but it also sounds like there's predominantly roses, specifically red roses. So I'll tell you something interesting. There's a Yalkut Shemoyni, it's in Parshas Bereishis, it's Remez Chof. I'm pretty sure this is the Makar in Chazal, in terms of understanding a little bit of a description of what Gan Eden looks like. So I'll just read a few excerpts. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Shnei Shari Kadkoid Yesh beGan Eden. There are two gates of Kadkoid in Gan Eden. So we had Kadkoid in the Divrei Agod of Rabbi Bar Barchana. But either way, there are these two gates of Kadkoid, a certain type of stone. Va'aleim Samach Riboy Malachi Asharis. And on top of these two gates, there are 600,000 Malachi Asharis. V'chol Echo Mehem Ziv Pineyem Kizoyer Horaki Amavik. Each one of these Malachi Asharis have a beautiful shine on their face. B'shosha HaTzadik Ba'etzlam. And when the Tzadik dies, and he comes to Gan Eden, Mafshinte Me'olav HaBegodim Sha'amad Bohem Bekefer. The Malachi Asharis come and they take the tachrichin off of this tzaddik. And they put him on instead different clothing. How much clothing? Shmoyne begadim. Eight begadim, like the Kohen God. And these eight begadim are begadim shal anani akovet. Ushneik sorim noisnin al roishai. And then they put two crowns on his head. Echad shel avonim toivois umargolias. One of them has diamonds and pearls and stones. The echad shel zav pruim. And the other one has gold. The noisnin shmoyne hadasim beyadai. And they put eight hadasim in his hand. Umikalsen oisai. And they begin to praise him. The oimrim loy. And they tell him leich achoil besimcha. Go now, you're merited the reward of Gan Eden, and go besimcha with joy, because now is the time for you to reap all the reward and all the benefit that you're supposed to get. And they take him into a place where there's nechalim, where there's streams of water. Mukif, this area surrounded, here's the punchline. Tough mine vradim. Tough, 800 different types of roses. And each person gets his own chuppah, something we also saw in the Agadat Gemara of Rabbi Bar Barchana. So what's Gan Eden? So Gan Eden is the Sharm, and this is the Malachim, and he's wearing Shmoyne Begadim of Anane Yaakovin, and he's holding Hadassim in his hand, and he goes to a place with his water, and the area is surrounded by 800 different types of roses. So roses are somehow a predominant feature of Gan Eden. The Alkesh Shemedi continues and says, that from this area, it sounds like this is like the primary enclave, there are four naharas, there are four rivers that come from it. Echad Shel Chalav, one of those rivers has milk flowing from it. Echad Shel Yain, the other one is wine. Echad Shel Afar Semein, a certain type of oil. Echad Shel Dvash, and the other one is honey. V'chol Chuppah v'chuppah, l'mayla mimenu gefen shel zav. So we said that every tzaddik has his chuppah, right? So what's on top of the chuppah? There's a gefen, and that gefen is made of gold. The lamid margolios kfuyas boy, and there are 30 types of margolios that are inside of it. The chol echad mavik zivay keziv hanoiga, and the shine of each one of these diamonds. You've never seen diamonds like this in your life. The chol chuppah v'chuppah, each one of these chuppahs yesh v'shulchan shalavonim tovis margolios. It has tables that are made of diamonds and stones. The shisha malachim oimdim l'roish kol tzadik v'tzadik, and each person has 60 mesharsim, and these mesharsim are malachim, and v'oimrim lo, and they tell him leichachol b'simcha dvash, and they tell him, you know, one of these naharis that's flowing is made of honey. Go eat honey and eat the honey b'simcha. You know why? Sha'asakte b'toyra shenom shalik dvash, because you are isik in Torah that's compared to dvash. And Emma, as the pasuk says, David HaMelech said, "Umesukim medvash." And then they tell him, "Say Yayin Amishumer." Now it's time for you to drink Yayin Amishumer. Misheshes and Meberishes. You know why? Shall sakte b'toyra shenimshal kala Yayin, because you are Isaac in Torah, which is nimshalo ki Yayin. Now all these malachim are very handsome. How handsome? The hakar shavahem. The ugliest one is Kidmusa shal Yosef. He's as handsome as Yosef HaTzadik, Ukidmus Rabbi Yechana. And like Rabbi Yechana, we know from many Gemaras, was also very, very handsome. And the Gemara goes on and continues to talk about what this is going to look like. V'yesh Megan Edom, I'm skipping a little bit. Pei Riboy, Mine Ilonois. There are 800,000, Pei times 10,000 types of Ilonois, Bechol Zavios, and all the different corners, ha-meshubach behem, ha-katan shebehem, the shvachst of all it is meshubach mikol atzei besamim, etc., etc. Then it goes on to talk about the different madrigas of Gan Eden. Listen to this lashon of Chazal. U'betoicha shiva batim shal tzadikim. There's seven houses of tzadikim. Rishon and the first bayis is Harugei Malchus. All the Harugei Malchus are there. Kigoyin Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. Shnia atfuyim bayam. People that drowned at sea. Shlishis Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka v'talmidav. Revius, the fourth one, is Elu sheyared ha'onon v'kisa aleim. Kat chamishis Elu balei tshuva. Because b'mokash balei tshuva oimdim tzadikim gemurim einem oimdim. Meaning, give Rabbi Akiva v'chaver, Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka v'chaver, didn't even get there. Kat shishis Elu revokim. These are bachrim shloitam utam chet miyameim. These are people that never got married, but at the same time, they were never nichshol in arayas, and they were never toyim tam chet miyameim. They're the kat shishis. And kat shviyas Elu aniyim. These are armalite sheyesh ben mikro mishnah v'derech eretz, and despite their aniyos, they still were oisek b'toyra. And they're going to be included in this, but I'll call upon him. This is a little bit of a description of what Gan Eden's like, what you didn't have to look forward to. But at the same time, what's the initial description? So they bring him into this place. It sounds like everything flows from there. But the main hub, so to speak, like the lobby, the main area, right, the home base of Gan Eden is an area that has Nachle Mayim, and it's mukav. It's surrounded with tough Minei Vradim, with 800 different types of roses. Ma'od Matim with this Gemara right here. That what happens when the sun passes Gan Eden, it becomes red. Why red? From the roses. Now, it's not just roses, red roses. But the bottom line is, this is what's going on over here. You have 800 different types of radim. So the rose is a predominant feature of Gan Eden. You know, it's interesting. There's another, I think, predominant feature of Gan Eden. Just to give it a tiny bit of an introduction. The Ramah in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, in Simin Tov Kuf Pei Gimel, it's Sif Bei. It says, V'yesh noya gim lechol tapuach masuk bedvash. The people that have the meaning on Rosh Hashanah, that they take an apple and they dip it in honey. And they say, "Teschadei shalenu shana mesuka." The chay noyagin says the Rama. That's the meaning. The Taz brings from the Maril that the Maril said that why is it that on Rosh Hashanah you take an apple and you dip it in honey? Meaning, I understand you want a Shana Toiva Masuka and Simona Milsi, like the Gemara says, but it doesn't have to be an apple. It could be something else. Says the Taz, v'tapuach u'remez al stei tapuchin hayadu al pi ha-kabbalah. The yesoid of the tapuach is, because al pi ha-kabbalah, there's a stei tapuchin, there's a field of apples, and as a remez to that field of apples, we take the tapuach. If you look in the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agra, the Gra talks a little bit more. Chura, the Maril that the Taz is quoting, is working in line with what the Gaon is about to say. Says the Gaon, why a tapuach? Like the Pasuk says, Kireach Sade. So what's this pasuk of Kireach Sada? So it's a pasuk in Parshas Toldos. So when Yaakov goes to Yitzchak to gan for the brachas, so Hakol Kol Yaakov, Vayidayim Midei Yisov, right? And finally, Vayoyim Elov Yitzchak Oviv Geshana Ushakol Ibni. Right? I want a little bit of wine. Pour me a little bit of wine. Vayigash. So Yaakov goes close to Yitzchak. Vayishakloy, and he kissed him. Vayorach Esreach Begadim, and then he smelled the scent of his clothing, vayivarcheu, and he gave him the grace of bracha. Vayoymer, and he told him, re'ei reyach b'ni kireyach sada asher berchei Hashem. I see that the smell of my son is kireyach sada asher berchei Hashem. And what's the next words? V'itan l'chol l'kimital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei oret, v'chulu v'chulu. Zok the Hilge Rashi, vayorach. Yitzchak smells Yaakov, and he says, wow, re'ei reyach b'ni kireyach sada asher berchei Hashem. He's overwhelmed, he can't believe this good smell. This should have been the worst smell in the world. That what came with him, was the Reach Gan Eden. Next Rashi, Ki Reach Sada Sheberche Hashem, Shenosam by Reach Toiv, Vizeu Stei Tapuchim. He said that Yaakov Avinu, Zok Rashi, Koni Chazal, smelled like what? He smelled like Gan Eden. And what was the smell of Gan Eden? It was a stei tapuchim. He smelled like apples. And because he smelled like apples, that's why he was so taken aback. And that's this pasuk. So says the guy, you want to know why we take apples and we dip it in honey on Rosh Hashanah? It's because the pasuk says, kireach sada. Umetargeminan chakal tapuchim. V'hoya b'Rosh Hashanah ki yodua. And that story, ki yodua, happened on Rosh Hashanah. Now the emes is it yodua that it happened on Rosh Hashanah? It's yodua, apparently, to learn the Kabbalah, because the Makar is in Zayirayim Nehemna, Parshas Emma, Zayirayim Nehemna, and Parshas Pinchas. Really, Rashi and Chumash says that when did this all happen? It happened on Pesach, it didn't happen on Rosh Hashanah. That's Alpin Nigla, of Alpin Nisna, says the guy. You want to know when this happened? This happened on Rosh Hashanah. So what happened on Rosh Hashanah? Yaakov goes to take the brachas. And when Yaakov goes to take the brachas of Yitin L'chali Kimi Talashanai Mishmani Yaret, what did he smell like? He smelled like Gan Eden. And what's the smell of Gan Eden? The smell of Gan Eden is the apple. It's a tapuach. That's why Gan Eden is referred to in the Zohar as the Chakal Tapuchin. It's the forest of tapuchim, of apples. He smelled like an apple. And that's why Simona Milsi, what do? We take an apple and we dip it in honey. By the way, posh it. I'm not saying any chiddush. What's the oimik of what the Gaon is saying? That the Leil of Rosh Hashanah is Simona Milsi. So what's this image? You know what we do? We take apples, we dip it in honey, right? The honey's dripping all over us, and we smell like apples. And this is the Simona Milsi that we should be zoicha to v'yitein l'cha alaykim mitala shemayim v'shmanei yaret. V'roiv dog and v'tiroich. Ein l'cha Simona Milsi g'day l'mizu that we should be zoicha to the brach of v'yitein l'cha. We should be zoicha to the brach of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu, when he comes into the brach, what does he smell like? He smells like apples. So what do we smell like? We smell like apples. By the way, Tosfos says in Tainus Chavtes Amabei is that what was the tapuach? It wasn't an apple. It was an esrig, right? It's a famous Tosfos, a short Tosfos. It was an esrig. It wasn't an apple, which is also a shtickl in Yad Yom. But the bottom line is, Pashtun, it was an apple. And the Goyin says, that is the makar, why we dip the apple in honey. But the bottom line is, Gan Eden is obviously not shayach. Now, Ayun Le'Ros, on some level, we have a little bit L'Sabres Ha'Oizem of a description here in the Yalkut Shemayni that every Yid who has to Painik Zechabissel in Golis and on this world, it's Ayem La'Soizem L'Mocha L'Kabel Schar. Just a little bit of a sneak preview into what that L'Mocha L'Kabel Schar is. But there seem to be two features that are very predominant. Number one, the roses. It's a Makar in our Gemara, Bava Basra Daf Pei Dalid Amid Aleph. It's the Vardi. It's literally what the fire is to Gehenna. It's this predominant feature, but not just that. We find that Gan Eden is referred to as a chakal tapuchin. Now, Pasha, you would say it's all Kabbalah, yes, but no, because at the same time, there is something real to it as well. from a nigla perspective. It's meant on some level to be taken literally, and it plays itself out. Mamish b'leil Rosh Hashanah. That Yaakov Avinu, when he came to take the brachas, so he smelled, his reyach was the reyach of apples. So what do? We take the apple and the honey, al samana milsi, that we should taka bizoicha to Ashana toiva, umesuka, and to all the brachas of a yitin lecha, alaykim, itala shamayim, umishmane yaretz.